Good morning, and once again we welcome everyone, but especially those of you that, well, let's see now, make up the FHU class of 2022. And we are especially grateful for you. You represent about half the group of Interfaith students, and we're looking forward to having all of you in a very short amount of time. We're thankful that you're here today. Thankful for your parents and grandparents and siblings, and this is an exciting time. We're thankful for the opportunities that we have to serve you. The Henderson Church, you'll find, is a family. The church is a lot of things, but one of the things is that it's a family, and we want you to be a part of the family. And tonight you have activities planned, I know, as part of Interfaith. At 5, but we meet on 5 Sunday evenings, and then the Wednesday evening services will begin at 5:45, as Bill has mentioned, and at 7. So welcome. Taking advantage of a new day is a very special day. In fact, we use the occasion to think about the arrival of these students that we've been looking forward to, in some cases, all of their lives. I mean, really, from the time that you were born, because many of you are the children of former students. And so as we have known them and loved them and kept up with them and taught a great many of them, we look forward to getting to know you and your experience here. Some years ago, there was a Broadway musical by the name of Godspell. And the theme song that came from that particular musical was a song entitled Day by Day. It had in it three particular expressions that I believe are three good expressions for us to think about regardless of where we are in our lives today, whether it be university students, whether it be senior saints, whether it be our youth group and younger, wherever we may be. There is a formula here that is based upon the renewing of our spiritual life on a daily basis. The text that you see that comes from 2 Corinthians 4, Paul talks about as we grow older, and that's certainly true, but as we grow older, on the outward side, we are aging. We are growing older. In fact, in the process of decaying eventually, although we don't think about that right now, but on the inside, we are being renewed, or we are being made new. And then he says this expression, day by day. Everyone has the same 24-hour period of time. The difference in those that grow, whether it be intellectually or emotionally or socially, but especially spiritually, depends upon what we decide to do with each and every day. And there will be times where you'll be tempted to say, you know, I just don't have time today to read from God's Word. Then what we are saying is everything else in the world is more important than taking a look at just a few verses of the very Word of God by which we live, will be saved, and will be judged. And if we say, I do not have time to pray, we are failing to take advantage of the greatest power that is available to us. And as we think of people who are very much in need of our prayers, including our new students who are going through all the changes and adjustments, not only are their prayers in your behalf by you, but we're also praying for you because we've been there, done that, know what it's like, and we want you to have the very same kind of positive experiences that those of us in this room have had before going through this transition. Transition for moms and dads too, you know. Had no idea when I left home that it would have any kind of impact on the way my mom would feel from that day forward. I was the baby in the family. And as a result, I was focused solely upon my leaving home. And then eventually I learned some years later, boy, what a profound impact that that made, especially when Joan and I sent ours off to school, even though it was down the road to FHU as well. So, as we think about this particular idea of being renewed day by day, I want you to think with me about these expressions that come from the song. The musical says, "Oh, dear Lord, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly," is the first one. Now, one reason that FHU exists, it's certainly the reason that the church exists, wherever the church is found, is to show the reality of the person of Jesus. And yet there are those who say, "I do not believe God or in God. I do not believe in Jesus because I cannot see them." But I want to remind you of the ways that are available to us in seeing Jesus. You cannot be someone who admires the created universe without believing in the beauty and the majesty of Almighty God and His Son and the Spirit. John 1:1-3, "In the beginning was the Word," referring to Jesus Himself. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And then this, "All things that have been made were made by Him." Now, obviously, that refers to God the Father, but it also refers to God the Son. Jesus was there in the creative order of things. And there has not been anything made regarding the physical universe that has not been made by Him. And so if you love sunrises, or if you love sunsets, or if you love the showers of blessings that we get from day to day or time to time, then you see again the power and the majesty and the beauty in the mind of God. You have evidence for the existence of God the more that you study our little tiny planet Earth, and in particular the much greater universe. Not only has He created all of us and all of the world, but also He has revealed Himself in becoming one of us. And the Bible is the story not only of God's plan in the Old Testament of eventually sending Jesus into the world to save us, but also that actual time when it appeared. John 1:14, "That Word that was there in creation for a period of time became flesh and lived among us." And John, who is writing this, says, "We lived with Him. We lived among Him. We saw Him. We saw His glory." Later on in 1 John 1, he would say, "We saw Him, we heard Him, we touched Him," or handled Him, "with our own hands." And so, you and I were not given that opportunity, but the apostles were, and the disciples and citizens of the first century, and it is through them that we have the revelation of the Lord. And then the Lord not only became someone who was human for a while, as well as divine, He was someone who identifies with us. If you want to know if God knows what it is like when we are going through change, when we're going through transition, and the change may not be momentary or temporary, it may be from then on, then the Lord knows and identifies with that. All we have to do is be reminded of Hebrews 4:15. "We do not have a high priest who does not know what it's like to be tempted, but one who has in every point been tempted like we are, yet without sin." So yes, the Lord doesn't know sin, but He knows the temptation to sin, and therefore can identify not only with that, but with all of our sorrows and hurts. All you have to do is remember the cross. When it comes to the matter of salvation, speaking of the cross, Paul was very personal when he said, "Worthy is the saying, truthful is the saying, and worthy of acceptation is the saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Well, that's every person. And then he says, "Of whom I am chief, number one on the sin list." And as a result of that, we can see the blood of Christ on the cross saving the world if the world will but believe and obey. And then where I see Jesus a lot is in you. When I see someone respond to the invitation, it is the invitation of Jesus to which they are responding. When I see someone who is doing a deed because they are a brother or sister in Christ and they're very much touched by the needs of someone else, they rush to the side of those people and they weep with them, but they also rejoice with them when there are times of rejoicing. It is then that I see a glimpse of the Savior. This morning I received a phone call right before leaving home that one of my very good friends in the ministry unexpectedly passed away, even though he'd been sick recently, unexpectedly passed away last evening in Vanderbilt. Don Cooper, who has chosen to preach in what we would call the Mid-Atlantic states all of his years, he was originally from the Ohio, West Virginia area. Don is the father of Sandy Haltom, for those of us locally here. And it's quite a shock. 85 years, yes. Some would say, well, you know, that's what you would expect. But that's not what we were expecting. We were expecting a recovery. But Don preached 70 years, started at 15, and preached last Sunday at 85. Every time I was with Don Cooper, which was just about every year at the lectures and other occasions when he would come and visit his family members, I saw Jesus. I saw a man of God. And I am confident, as his family certainly is, of where he is. And so if we want to see the Lord more clearly, day by day, enjoy the beauties of his creation, the wonders of it. Discover even more of it. And then marvel at what it was like to be him in flesh, growing from infancy all the way to manhood as we do in terms of the growth cycle, but all the time knowing where that growth cycle was going to lead him, to the cross. And he identifies with our hurts, with our sorrows, also with our joys. But he has come to save us, and as a result of seeing people who believe in him wherever we go. And that includes the young people who come to our classes to study the Bible and who come to worship services. Oh, I see Jesus all day, every day. So to see thee more clearly. Second expression is, day by day to love thee more dearly. How do we do that? One way is to fulfill what the Lord said in response to the question, what is the first and greatest commandment? To love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Second is likened unto it, to love people as you do yourself. To love with the mind is to devote our minds to studying more of what we've been discussing, God's word as well as God's will and God's world. To love him with the heart is to be touched by the shedding of his blood for our sins. To love him with our soul is the very life that is within us, even to the point that we would give our life for him. And you've really got to love someone in order to do that. And then to love him with our strength is to give him, for instance, in this case, the strength of our youth, but also the wisdom that comes ultimately with age. In Ephesians 3, Paul prays a prayer. And he prays in that prayer that the Ephesians would come to know the height and the depth and the length and the width of the love of Christ. What in the world did he mean by that? He meant there was no end to the love of Christ for us. I mean, someone is not going to become human flesh after being divine from eternity. And someone is not going to humble himself in death, especially the death of the cross, unless he inherently is love. So he says, if you're going to love him that way in return, you love him to the lengths of your life, to the height and the depth of your life experiences, even to the width of as much as you can love, you return your love to him in the way that he's given it to you. So to see the Lord every day more clearly, and then to love him more dearly. And remember when he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay. Not advancing down here. There we go. Okay. Now let's go to the third one. To follow thee more nearly. The natural consequence of seeing the Lord in all of these ways, coming to greater faith in him, greater knowledge of him, greater love for him, to love him a little bit more this Lord's day than we did yesterday, and yet do not love him as much as we intend to love him tomorrow, if he gives us the opportunity to live, is an intentional day-by-day growth process. We have a plan to grow. And as our students are going to grow this year intellectually, boy, they're going to be different after one semester. They're going to really be different after one full year. Our returning students who are serving as interface leaders can attest to that. There's going to be a lot of difference in growth and development. But that spiritual growth is going to happen too. It just cannot be anticipated without putting forth effort like intellectual growth. So if we love him a little bit more, it's going to be easier to follow him. It's going to be easier to understand why he says do, and then also why we understand him to say do not. Paul says in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, a great statement. This is to every one of us, regardless of age, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Every day, are we being a little bit more sacrificial in living the Christian life? There's a great divide there, great distance between the world and us. But are we showing Christ in us by the dedication of life to him on a daily basis? And then he says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't go along with the crowd that is on the way to being lost beyond that straight and narrow path that leads to life. Few find it, but discipline yourself by his word to stay on that path. And then thirdly, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is to be distinctive. This is to be salt. This is to be light. This is to be leaven. And that is to say, the Lord used those metaphors or those three images that were very common in his world as well as ours. Light, salt, leaven or bread. He used those to talk about how we're going to affect the environment in which we're a part. Those of us who have chosen to spend our lives here and have been blessed to do so, because we love not only the local congregation here, but we love what the school has done for us, what it has given to us, what it put into us, are here because we love sharing that with as many people as we have the opportunity to share. And so we want to invest in one another. We want to make the environment for one another a better environment. This is to say, not only are you hopeful of getting a good roommate who will be interested in spiritual things, but you are that good roommate that is interested in spiritual things, and your room and your dorm are going to be affected by your salt and by your light and by your leaven. So will your club. So will your class. So will your dates. It'll all be affected as we transform ourselves by renewing our mind. And then there are times where we really need to determine, okay, what is the right thing to do? What is the wrong thing to do? What is the better thing to do? And Paul ends this text by saying you can prove what is the good, the perfect, and the acceptable will of God by comparing whatever it is you're facing to what the Bible says on that. You see, that's our standard. That's our guide. And Christian education, as well as the Lord's church itself, is based and built upon the truth that the Bible is God's eternal word. So, three goals here at the beginning of a new day. You know, every one of us has, as long as we have life, we have the opportunity to have a new day. And here's the way that you can look at it. You can look at a Lord's Day and say, ah, it's just another Lord's Day. Well, there's nothing about this particular Lord's Day to those of us here in Henderson. There's nothing about this particular Lord's Day that is just another Lord's Day, because we've been waiting for you to come. It is an extremely special day for us. But even while we wait for you, every Lord's Day is the latest Lord's Day, and they're all special. As I look back upon my youth, the things that I seem to think about the most and remember the most, although I have very precious memories like all of you do of school days and of ball teams and great friends and all of that, but it is in particular the Lord's Day, each and every week, that stands out. There's a reason why it's the first day of the week in the wisdom and providence of God. Or we could even look at Mondays and sing along with the song that reminds us, oh, it's another manic Monday. Or we can see it as yet another new day, a fresh day, where the mercies of God are available to us like dew every morning. Lamentations chapter 3. So, it's up to us to see what each and every day is available for us, to see Jesus more clearly, to love Him more dearly, and to follow Him just a little bit more nearly. The way we do that is not by coming to the point of saying, I believe there is a God in heaven. I believe that Jesus is His Son. I believe that the Bible is His Word. Not just saying that, but making the kind of change that is going to begin the kind of life that every day contributes to this ideal. I want to see Him. I want to love Him. I want to follow Him more each and every day. That's the formula. Some people will look at the Christian life and say, man, I could never live that way for a lifetime. And they're looking ahead, you know, living by the discipline and so forth that we've talked about. They look ahead and they put all of their life in one day's package rather than looking at their life at one day at a time. Everybody lives one day at a time. So we dedicate and devote one day at a time to the Lord. And someday we will look back upon all of that as having been people of faith and faithfulness, and we would have lived the Christian life. Those we see Jesus in are those who have done that and who are doing that. And it's available to every one of us. And so the formula is not, it happens just at the point of baptism. That's the birth. But from that day forward, we see, we love, we follow. Day by day. So that is Paul's meaning when he said, outwardly, we're growing older. Inwardly, we are newer day by day. And we hope that to be the case with you. That's a goal for our students this year, but it's a goal for every child of God here and for everyone who is ready to become a child of God. The gospel teaches us that to become a child of God, we must be buried with the Lord in baptism, having repented of our sins, being thoroughly convinced that he is the Christ, the Son of God. It also means that we are to be faithful to him. We do not just take advantage of his blood to wash away our sins, but rather to keep us cleansed and purified throughout the course of life. Because someday, the Lord is going to appear, and 1 John 3 and verse 2 says, we will see him face to face. There have been a number of hymns written about that idea. I believe it. I'm looking forward to it. Because of his grace and mercy and his sacrifice, because of our response to it, we have that hope. We hope that you'll have that hope too. It is the Lord who is calling you today through the song of encouragement, and if it applies to you in becoming a child of God or in renewing your faith as a child of God, let's devote ourselves to seeing and loving and following just a little bit more day by day. Shall we stand? Shall we sing?
Form of a child and led a life that ended with death on a cross among the people, loving the people who were still out there to put him to death. When you go through Christ alone, you see the image of a Savior who is powerful enough to rise from the dead and defeat the powers of sin, to defeat the powers of death. And you see the image of a Savior who frees us to run through life in pursuit of eternity. It's the gospel. The message in a song. Christ's birth, life, death, resurrection, the hope we have in him, the strength we find in him. I'm going to ask Bill to come in and go ahead and lead that song, and then I'll come back and close this out with a prayer. But as we sing through it, try to think about the words. Try to think about what they mean. It's a song that we've sung many times. It's also a song that when you see it, it's like, well, here come all four verses of In Christ Alone. But each one is just so important. Think about the words of In Christ.